When I look at the book of Matthew, I realize that the book of Matthew missed out on the book of John. Because in the book of John, John wrote about this young lad, this young boy, who came to Jesus with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But either way, whether you look at John or you look at Matthew, the story really evokes memories of Sunday school stories. And if you have attended Sunday school, and probably you recall those flannel boards, I don't think they're using that anymore. That's before PowerPoint and projections, you know, flannel board, and then you've got figures that you stick on the flannel board. And it is a great story line. And I remember those Sunday school times, and the teacher would say, well, about 5,000 men, but they did not include women and children, but they were there to receive the blessings of God. But you see, Jesus was trying to find some quiet place, to a deserted place to experience Sabbath. But if you look at the scripture, you will also note that prior to this, John, the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, was apprehended by King Herod. And after he was apprehended, he was put in jail. And King Herod realized that God is able to do some miraculous things, but he wasn't really sure how to respond to this God sighting in his life. But Herod decided to throw a party, and there was a party thrown in his favor. So he looked around him, and he saw his daughter. And his daughter was asked by the king, well, you ask me anything, any wish that you have, and I will grant you that wish. And lo and behold, the daughter who conspired with his mother, isn't it amazing that it's always women and are always the one who's conspiring, at least for this particular story, they were conspirators and said, well, give me the head of John the Baptist, to the surprise of King Herod. Because he had offered a promise, then it was done. But you see, Jesus, from this context, was trying to find a quiet place, to find Sabbath. In other traditions, they call it Sabbath Shalom or Shabbat, which is a combination of Sabbath and Shalom, trying to find peace and meaning in a very difficult times. So if I were you, you better be careful about birthday wishes, isn't it? And so in many times, I often say, well, what is the blessing that God has given you? Because a wish is really temporary. But a blessing is what God had already given to you and for your community. So it is very important for me to distinguish between blessings and wishes, because the blessing that we receive from God is the kind of hope that is realized in our very present moment. A wish is more of a personal desire where the parameters are clearly defined. But the blessing, most especially the bread of always, is open to God's wonderful and creative spirit. And so when Jesus withdrew from the crowd, he was taking into account, what is God going to do for my people? And notice the language of blessing. And notice also that Jesus had compassion on God's people. And because this was really the vantage point of Jesus, he healed the sick, he allowed hospitality to take place, and then finally, when people were hungry, where people were looking for something tangible to receive, Jesus received the bread of always. Well, I found something really interesting about our Redeemer's Church in the last few weeks since I have been appointed here. I know there's a lot of very interesting things about our church. I realized that many food pantries are either located near the kitchen, in the back room, and sometimes they're located in the basement or somewhere very far away from where the entrance is, somewhere tucked away out of place and out of sight. But you know, our food pantry, you're encouraged to do to support our food pantry, is where? It's stuck between the church office and the church study. And so, because I use both entrances, I found out my other entrance, I was told by Donna, that's my exit entrance. So in order for me to get to my study, if there is someone there picking up the food pantry, I really either have to wait or I have to wedge myself in between in order to get to my study. But you see, you and I know that it's more than about food pantry, isn't it? You see, the disciples didn't even get it until after the resurrection of Jesus. So it's more than food pantry. You know, it's about life. It's about our relationship with God. And you see that the disciples were practical, just like many of us in this place. And the reply of the disciples were simple. Let us send them away. Because Jesus, you know, this is a deserted place, you know, and it's really late. What are we going to do? How are we going to take care of all of these people? One may think that the disciples were prepared for moments like this, just like our Redeemer's Church. We know what to do. Well, they didn't know what to do. We have heard strategies for discipleship and the elements for leadership, and I have lots of resources, but I started to give them away that I have accumulated through the years, not because they are valuable, not because they are unimportant. I think they are very important. Don't get me wrong, because I think they are vital tools. I wish that I could say, go ahead and go to the next 7-Eleven. Are there still 7-Eleven around here? Yeah, but it used to be that they're in every corner, but I think it's mostly Subway in many corners now, isn't it? But just the same. But the critical question is whether we are in love with God. What is in your bread box? Do you still have bread boxes? It used to be that there are bread boxes. Or perhaps, what is in your toolbox? What is in your pantry? And so Jesus told the agitated disciples, worried about comfort and safety, send them away. They can go somewhere else. We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. But you see, that is a more gentle version, a more politically correct version, so to speak. A nice picture, especially given a very difficult circumstance. But John's account, again, I would remind you, is very different. The disciples really had nothing to offer. Can you imagine that? Traveling with Jesus, and they really nothing had to offer to Christ. No bread, no water, nothing. And so Andrew, a person of integrity, that was his name, identified a young lad with 5 loaves and fishes, you know. I think of fish is more like sardines instead of tilapia. The bread would be a small roll instead of the big bread that we are accustomed to. But you see, Andrew, if you recall, was also the one who received these words. Come, I will make you fishers of men and women. But Jesus received the simple offering and bread, and the rest actually is the miraculous story. And all were filled, and there were even leftover pieces, and there were 12 baskets in all. I think, in my experience, I often underestimate the generosity of God. I often do that. And many times when I underestimate the generosity of God, I always stand corrected, because I know that God is able to do the things that I cannot do. There is, I think, a forgetfulness for all of us, young or old. There is a forgetfulness that God is faithful. And I think that is the reason why there is not much anxiety today. We have forgotten that God is really faithful and that God is always walking with us. There are many times when we minimize the simple things in life, because we have basically received all the things that we have. You know the term smorgasbord? It's an old term, right? How many buffet restaurants are here in Schaumburg? Can you recall within a 20-mile radius? 2? Within, yeah? But I go to this Royal Buffet on Russell Road and Gulf Road. I tell you, it took me about 3 hours to eat there. I mean, there's just so much food, you know. And so I think what is happening in our world today is that we are so accustomed to, you know, the latte and the chai latte and whatever it is that they're offering and the sushi and the buffet meal that we have forgotten how to give thanks for the simple bread and for the simple fruit from the juice from the fruit of the vine. But let me tell you that what we do here is always countercultural, countercultural to all the world is offering. You know that in Detroit, they are shutting off water supply to those who cannot afford water. And the people from Canada are trucking in the water, and people from other places are bringing in water. There, because of economics and the politics, Great Lake equals water, but there's no water available for the poor. Somewhere in Chicago, there's a woman who was scammed, and she's going to lose her home because there was a scam artist, but they're going to take her house. Men and women in Gaza are dying, and we are all longing for a lasting peace. And we're asking, when will this end? At what price? These are hard questions, but we are called to ask and face difficult questions, isn't it? But the bread is always, of always, is the bread for all seasons. In the Exodus, you recall, they asked the question, what is this kind of bread? And the question, it really is about manna. Manna is also the root word for the word what, or what is it? God was always specific. And when God responds to us, God responds in very specific ways in what we need. Bread, wine, food, fellowship, relationship, peace, and justice. And this is where God finds you and me. We are a people of blessing. And what happens next is to be the body of Christ. And you and I are part of that, so that we may be one with Christ. Thanks be to God.